Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
I'm hoping that at this moment, I have safely returned home from a successful trip to see the total solar eclipse. A bunch of us, as we're recording this, we're going to go to Texas. By the time it comes out, we will have gone to Texas and come back. We selected a place in the path of totality that seemed like it had a better chance of not having cloud cover than, like, the parts of New England that the path of totality is going to go through, which would have been much closer. And also places that we felt like we could get to in a reasonable way to do this. Last time, total solar eclipse, same essentially group of people. We went to Columbia, Missouri, and it was great. And we did have a little bit of cloud cover that was making us nervous. But the clouds cleared over the sun just in time for totality to happen. And this is why I don't really get behind the criticisms of the people who were like, well, this 585 BCE eclipse would have been so late in the day, probably they wouldn't have even noticed that the eclipse happened. I think they would have noticed because the total solar eclipse did not feel like a cloud covering up the sun.
No, I have another thought, but keep going.
Yeah, okay. The comparison between the eclipsed sun and not eclipsed sun was a lot more dramatic than like a cloud blew in, even a big cloud blew in or a storm blew in. It became really eerily quiet. And then nighttime animals started making nighttime noises. it was really one of the, it was a just like a profound experience.
This is fascinating to me.
Yeah?
I don't get moved by them like that.
Well, have you?
I have gone and traveled. Oh, yes.
Okay.
And I'm like, neat.
Yeah.
And it's neat, but that's like, then I'm ready to rock and roll.
It's time to go.
But I love that people get so excited about it. It's just one of those things where I'm like, cool. Because I love astronomy and stuff. You would think I would be like, you guys, everybody shut up. This is really important. But I'm,
well, it's not a sculpture.
It's not a piece of art. Vichy LeBrun did not touch it.
So, yeah, that's, I don't know. And I also, like, I do, especially in the wintertime. Like in the wintertime, a lot of times I will try to hike at the warmest point of the day, which a lot of times is going to be in the late afternoon. So a lot of times I am returning home from hiking as the sun is setting. And I still think, I still think that would have been something that would have been noticeable. So I just like, just me personally, I don't really agree with the argument that like probably the armies would not have noticed an eclipse if it was starting late in the day towards sunset.
Now, this is where my other thought comes in.
Okay.
Because I hear you. It is a dramatic, like, visual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not fighting hand-to-hand combat when you're seeing them.
I guess that's also true.
Like, that's the mitigator for me is, like, if I were engaged in combat, I would be like, cool, it's dark. I don't have time to look at that. Like, I might die. But I don't know enough about how their flavor of combat played out to know how much of that really was, like, what I'm envisioning.
Yeah.
Largely from film and occasional woodcuts versus, like, if they were just sitting around waiting for the next maneuver.
Right.
I don't know. That would be the shifter in that one. But I don't know, I guess.
Well, and then there's also the argument of, like, there probably wasn't an eclipse. Like, some of the papers that I read doing research for this were very strident. They were like, the eclipse is a fiction.
No eclipse. No eclipse. Yeah. I have more questions, but they're kind of personal in nature, and you might not want to answer them on the show.
Well, we can cut them out if...
Okay. Because this is pure curiosity. I'm just... Okay. I have been peppering poor Tracy with questions today for... I don't know if I'm just super tired, so I've become a toddler, and I have a million
questions.
It's okay. When you say an eclipse for you is a very profound experience, like, profound in what way? Like, what is your takeaway? Do you feel differently about the world or the cosmos in your place in it, or is it profound just in, like, the starkness of its difference from day-to-day life?
So I will confess that when I was in maybe third grade, there was a total annular eclipse that crossed North Carolina, right where we lived, in the path of totality. And if I'm remembering this correctly, this happened during the school day. We all went outside and watched it with little pinhole cameras made of index cards. I also remember another solar eclipse that I feel like was maybe a partial solar eclipse that we did something similar in the yard at home because it was not a school day. Neither of those when I was a child really struck me as anything impressive at all. And I was like, I don't know why you're out here making me look at these things through index cards. It's a shadow. Like, why are...
I could be playing.
Yeah. So then this one that was in 2017, which a group of us went to Columbia, Missouri together. I was sort of like, this just seems like a cool thing to do. At that point, I had not seen an actual total solar eclipse within the path of totality. And I had just seen this total annular eclipse before, which that makes like a ring around. There's still a ring of sun visible. And so I kind of went sort of like feeling like it would be a fun thing to do and interesting. And we went out to this, it was sort of a wildlife preservation area. And it was a whole group of us together. The people that I was with were all people who were very interested in what we were doing. One person background in a related field.
Gotcha.
So like to this person personally, I think would have been particularly affected. So some of it was witnessing all the things that happened when the sun disappeared.
Right.
Because we had picked a point, we were close to the longest duration of the totality.
Right.
So there was enough time in the state of totality that, like, interesting things happened around us involving how the animals behaved to what we were doing. And then part of it was also, like, how much it struck other people that I was with. So I sort of, by osmosis,
Right, you're part of the group dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also there's just the part of, like, witnessing this thing where the fact that we have eclipses at all only happens because of the position of the moon and the earth and our relation to the sun.
Right.
And if that alignment was not what it is, we would not have them. So yeah, it was a lot of stuff together.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
It just feels momentous.
Yeah.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
I will also just have a note that I did try to find good pronunciation guidance for this episode. And boy, like, some things I found Greek pronunciations for. Don't actually know whether the Greek pronunciation now would be remotely like,
right,
the Greek pronunciation then. And also, they were names of people that weren't necessarily in Greek to start with. And then similarly, sometimes there are Latin pronunciations. That's maybe totally different. And then you'll have English pronunciations. And then sometimes just no pronunciations by anyone reputable seeming to say anything about any of this. So, like, we did try, but I'm not going to say that anything that we did would pass some kind of scrutiny by, say, a person whose, say, entire PhD is about, you know, this region of the world in the 6th century BCE.
Right. Well, I mean, we have talked about pronunciation so many times, and it also comes down to, I bet during the 6th century BCE, not everybody said it the same way.
Yeah, yeah. We have, we've gotten some pronunciation corrections recently from things where I'm like, I'm not sure what you are trying to tell me, because there are two at least pronunciations for the thing that you are rhyming it with, and I don't know which
you are working with. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that happens all the time. It's
yeah.
There's a fun thing I've probably mentioned before for my Star Wars dorks, but Dave Filoni, who is, I forget his exact title, but he's, you know, the grand poobah of Star Wars creativity at this point. But he started doing a thing that I found really fascinating and kind of cool, which is that, like, if he's being interviewed and a thing comes up that people have pronounced differently in Star Wars at various times,
in the course of the interview, he'll use both pronunciations.
Oh, I love this.
He's like, they're both valid. And I like, that's fine. We all know what we're talking about. And I was like, oh, this is very genius.
Yeah. 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 Some of the things we hear from folks about are sort of equivalent to like the word W-A-T-E-R. Most of us in the U.S. say it sort of similarly to water.
Right.
Which has a D in it and not a T, which is not how it's spelled. But then there's like variations on just that. Like there are people that say it more like water.
Yes.
Well, I can't even do it. So yeah, there's so much difference in accents and how people's mouths work.
I will once again invoke the great Facebook crayon war.
Oh, people got so mad.
Which we had to, that word came up on a recent episode and it was on me and I was like, oh gosh, I hope this doesn't happen again. I know everybody says it differently. I say it crayon.
My spouse says it closer to crayon, which is the pronunciation people got the most angry about when they were fighting about the pronunciation of crayon on our Facebook. This is so long ago, but was so dramatic. We both still remember it.
It was really dramatic. I was just like, I did, because we had done one on the history of Crayola crayons. And I certainly didn't know what an incendiary topic.
Well, I think the only thing that's happened recently that even compares to that is the fight people had about whether The Velveteen Rabbit is an appropriate book for children and whether you should interpret it in a way that is happy or sad. And people got verbally violent about it.
People feel ways about things.
They sure do. They sure do.
That's what's up. I always go the hippie route of like, both points are valid.
Yes.
We can all say it however we want because 9 times out of 10 in context, it's perfectly clear what you're talking about.
Did you understand what the person meant? Then mission accomplished.
I also just love the variance of audio musicality of people saying things different ways.
Oh, me too.
I think it's beautiful often when I'm like, oh, that's how you say that. That sounds pretty and different than the way I say it. Or like, ooh, that sounds really forceful and different than the way I've ever heard it. I love those.
Yeah.
But not everybody does.
No, I follow a bunch of thru-hikers on TikTok because while I do not think I will ever thru-hike anything difficult myself, I do like to watch other people doing it. And the different ways the people will say the thing I say as the Appalachian Trail. And sometimes
fighting words.
Yeah, sometimes there will be people that talk about how they're on day 14. And a lot of them I've noticed just start saying the AT so that they won't have to deal with it. But like, no matter how anybody says it, there will be a bunch of people in the comments being ugly about it. And I'm like, this person is walking. Do you understand how far they are going to walk? What if this was not what we were focused on?
I feel like this, I mean, we're getting now into the shades of like, why do people have to yell at each other on the internet? But like my variation on this recently is not about pronunciation, but about various cooking accounts and like the refusal to acknowledge that people have different tastes.
Oh, and different ways of preparing things.
Right. And it'll be like, listen, if you ever just are bored and need entertainment and like your television's broken, go to the New York Times cooking posts and watch people yell at each other under them. Because it's literally like, it's not even like, ooh, I didn't like this. It's like, I made this and it was garbage and I hate you and I'm not subscribing. Like, it literally escalates to this like wild level in seconds. And then, you know, if someone goes, I made this and I actually thought it was pretty good, there's a herd of people who want to tell them that they clearly have the palate of like a badger and they shouldn't be allowed in a kitchen. And like, it's never just like, oh, that doesn't work for me. It's always like, and you are a monster.
And you're bad. Yeah. Yeah.
You probably cook with crayons.
This is one of the ways that I feel really conflicted about like where we are and the ability to communicate with each other, because I think the internet and social media have made it possible for people who did not have a community before to find a community.
Yeah.
But it's also made it so much easier to just be ugly. And ugliness is such a big part of like the internet culture at this point. And I don't love it. I'm like, hey, what if we all remembered we're all on the same planet with the same sun and the same moon? We're all here together.
We're all trapped on one rock, hurtling through space. Be cool.
And that's where we'll end this half.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. We talked about Milton Bradley and the checkered game of life this week.
Yep.
There have been so many versions of this game, even in the modern versions, where I'm like, yikes.
Yeah.
There was on the original, on some of the original versions, there was a square you could land on that kind of encouraged things like playing the stock market and speculation.
Mm-hmm.
That got taken off. And even in the modern ones, I remember, and then I thought I may have misremembered and been experiencing a cerebral event, something that I then went and looked at ads, and it was in the ads, which is that you used to get sent to a poor farm, which okay. just is sucky. That's, yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is sucky. The newer versions of life are a trip because, like, you don't get cash. You used to, like, I remember life being one of those games like Monopoly where you would get lots of paper involved.
Mm-hmm.
And now the newer ones have, you get like a debit card essentially.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I think they even have a partnership with Visa.
Yeah.
And it's like about, they always say that it is about teaching kids financial responsibility. But it's also like, I don't know. The whole thing is weird anymore. I feel strange about it.
I don't think we played a lot of the game of life. I mean, I have played it before, but I feel like it was a game that, like, somebody who babysat us at or something. Like, I don't think it was a game we had at home.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, too, because, like, the game of life historically, as we grew up playing it, was very gendered, right? Mm-hmm. You had a car that was either pink or blue if you were a boy or a girl. And you had little pegs that represented you and the other people in your family that were all either pink or blue for the same reasons. And I'm like, that's not really today that, I mean, are there other colors? I haven't investigated.
I have no idea.
But I also, one, I did love the ad campaigns for the Game of Life because they're preposterously funny, right? It's like a 10-year-old going, I had twins, and just like a lot of.
Oh, yeah. I also just have the Get Lucky with the Game of Life jingle on in my head on repeat the whole time we've been recording this.
Oh, yeah. Mine is, you can be a winner at the Game of Life.
Oh, I forgot that one.
I love that one. That was my favorite, even though the actual ad is probably one of my less favorites in terms of how it plays out. But it's very funny. I will say this, though, which makes me sound like I was a ruthless child, and I was in some ways, because I did not want to play the Game of Life.
Okay.
I was a Monopoly kid because I wanted to destroy all. I wanted... I was that monster child that wanted to build up every one of my properties to the point where, like, Dubai would look on with envy. And yeah. Then I wanted to charge people. I remember charging somebody who did not have the money to pay me. When they landed on my square, I was like, you can keep playing. I'm not going to bankrupt you, but you will be racking up interest. What a monstrous kid.
So I, in my memory, my paternal grandmother had two board games at her house mm-hmm. when my brother, cousin, and I were of the age to play them. And those were Battleship and Monopoly. And my cousin and I would gang up on my brother.
Oh yeah, alliances, man.
And upset him so much. Sorry, Matt. I'm very sorry that Rad and I were so bad to you playing Monopoly as children. I feel like that's always how it went. It was always me and my cousin ganging up on my brother, and then my grandmother would be like, "Yeah, I'll be nice."
But that's not how that works. Those don't foster niceness.
No. Well, and that whole game has its own story of it being a game originally that was about the grossness of capitalism that then became a game that celebrates capitalism. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
That there's lots of other work out there on.
That article from the New Yorker that Jill Lepore wrote, who is a history professor, made an interesting point that I hadn't considered about the Game of Life, which is that the way you're competing with other players is not in a way that directly impacts them. You're on your own journey
mm-hmm.
and you're just trying to get through your stuff fastest. Unlike something like Monopoly, where it is a little more ruthless and like you're trying to take down other people. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing I had not thought about.
Yeah.
Although, of course, in the actual game of real world life, if your only goal is to acquire wealth, you are probably going to take down other people. That's a different matter.
And there are also a number of awesome board games that are cooperative and everyone playing is working together to achieve a goal.
Yes. Yeah. That's I feel like that is how I like to play video games now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't love the games where you just drop in and get, you know, destroyed by somebody randomly.
Right.
I really like the ones for a while when the first version of Battlefront 2 is out. I'm almost reluctant to bring up Battlefront because it's going through a little rough moment right now. But they used to have a setting that was called Play All Maps. And basically, Brian and I would make sure we were on the same team. We would hit Play All Maps and we would spend like 4 hours just running around the Star Wars universe together. You know, trying to shoot droids, which was a very good date night for us.
Yeah.
And I would like to do those again. But yeah, I don't so much want to fight with my friends in games the way I did when I was a kid.
No.
I've gotten to be such a hippie as an adult. I'm like, everybody be kind. Let's all. Who can adopt the most cats? That'll be my board game I design.
Yeah. So there's a game. I think it's called the Tea Dragon Society. I'm doing this for memory, and it's been a while since I've played, but it is a game. You have these little dragons and tea. It is a card game. And I was playing it with some friends, and three of us were interested in you know, having a good time with these adorable dragons and their tea and flowers and et cetera. And friend number four sort of created an engine. Like, he was actually playing the game, like playing it to win. He right. created an engine with the cards so that every turn he got all of the stuff. And we were just like, we do not have the same goal for
this
our
is,
little
this
game.
This is not the same game for right all now. Of us. Yeah.
No. So anyway.
I don't do many board games these days. Not for lack of interest. It's just hard to like find a time when people I would want to play with can all be in the same place.
Right.
You know, we're all a little probably silly levels of busy, but maybe that will be a mid-year resolution for me. I'll add in.
Yeah. Games. I do play some board games. We've gotten requests for a history of board games episode.
That's like going, can I get a history of the sun?
Yeah.
And it's big.
This is maybe going to be ironic since I just wrote up 6 impossible episodes on etiquette manuals, which was like admittedly from the beginning, like this is a very Eurocentric etiquette manual thing. I feel like it would be a huge disservice to that topic to have it be really Eurocentric. And I also don't feel like it's possible to be more global with it and have it fit into an episode because there's so much. So like that is something that I've thought about, and that's where I landed on it.
Yeah. It's tricky. I hope if this is your weekend coming up that you get to maybe play a game with somebody that you like playing with and that has similar objectives and approaches to those games to you. If it's not your time off coming up, we hope that, you still get to have a good time and maybe play a game. Sometimes I can fit a game in on a weeknight. If you are trucking along through life and getting relaxation and being kind, we hope you reach happy old age. We will be right back here again tomorrow with a classic, and then on Monday there will be another brand new episode.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Happy Pride from TomboyX. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.